Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about. Well, happy December, everybody, and welcome back to the Gear Garage Live Show. This is a show I try to do once a week where I answer questions that people submitted. I might rant about random things. Today, probably not much ranting. And if you have questions and you haven't submitted them ahead of time, just put them in the comments and I'll get to them. And there's just two questions to answer this week, so this could be a pretty quick show. Before we get started, I want to just do a quick talk about this Palm boot. This is their Gradient 3.0 boot. I did a video about it. I posted a couple weeks ago. I've been using it a bunch. And I want to say for you rafters out there, this is a good shoe. I would say like cataracting, rafting. It's really solid, got really nice traction, grips under Rockwell. It seems durable. We're going to find out. I've only used it for a little bit, but it seems really durable, but it's sturdy, grips on rocks, designed for boating. I really like it. And they're made in the UK. They're not really sold in the US, but if you Google Palm Gradient 3.0, I think you can find some that you can buy here in the US if you want to. The only caveat I think is, they put this cuff on here, which I don't think I need. It's a little bit tricky to get your foot in here. It takes a little bit of work sometimes to get in. The nice thing about the cuff is it keeps rocks and sand out. So if you're walking through like a lot of rocks and sand, it doesn't get inside your shoe. That's not a big problem for me. Like I wear a low cut shoe all the time. I'm not struggling with rocks and sand inside my shoe. It doesn't provide any support. It's just neoprene. But it's really intended to just like keep stuff out and to kind of protect your foot. It just makes a small hole to get your foot into. But other than that, like I'm not a huge fan of this big. I'd rather have a low top shoe personally. But if you want that, you would love this shoe. Palm did a great job. I just really appreciate the people at Palm who are doing R&D. They're working with top paddlers to put out good gear. We don't have Palm in the US, like I said. They're a UK company. But I think they're going to slowly start selling stuff here in the US. And this shoe is something to consider. So if anybody has questions about it, now's the time. I'm happy to answer the questions while I have it here. And let's move on to the questions that were submitted for the week. And let me pull them up right here. And so, oops, let's go back. That's not the first. That's the second one. Let me make it bigger here. Okay. The first one's, hi, Zach. I bought an alternative raft seat in the season. I may have missed a review, but I was curious how it worked out. So when he says alternative raft seat, like right now, NRS makes the seat that pretty much everybody uses. And there have been some durability issues with those seats. I have a bunch of them, and they're expensive. Actually, let's pull it up here. Let me see if I can open up a window here. Let's pull up that seat so we can all look at it. So I'm sorry, I'm not ready for this. NRS raft seat. So if you look here, the low, $160. Wow. The low back padded seat. And the nice thing about this seat is it's light and it sits low. And so you can wear a waist belt throw bag. It depends. It's not perfect, but it's just a good seat. And it used to have a drain in the middle, but I think the drain is gone now. Yeah. There used to be a hole in the middle. Looks like it's gone. But it's expensive and it comes with all the stuff you need to, attach it to your frame. The other thing about this seat that's interesting is you gotta be really careful when you're screwing the bolts in. It's really easy to cross thread this, which breaks it. There's four bolts that go in. If you cross thread one of them, it breaks it. And I've done this on a few of these seats, so I'm pretty careful about it. There's some alternative options out there. Let me see if I can go to Amazon and find them. Oh, geez. What am I doing here? HNJY. Let's see if Amazon, there we go. So let's go to tractors, just Google tractor seat and see what comes up. Oh, that's a little, let's go for low back tractor seat. Here we go. There's normal tractor seats, lawnmower seats. This one is kind of cool. Actually, I haven't seen this one before. This one looks like more of a low back seat. I might have to try that one out. But people have sent me some of these as an option. You can see they're $60-$70. They're less than half the price. One of these I've bought a few of and used. This one's kind of cool, this yellow one. Maybe there's more out there than I thought. I should test more. But anyway, the one that somebody sent me, I bought a couple of them. There's another one. Wow. I should look at these more. I think it's one of these, probably this one, that I actually bought and I've been using. And I haven't done a review of it, so now's the time for the review. They have a little bit higher back. And so it's there maybe a little bit more comfortable, but it's almost impossible to wear a waist belt throw bag, which whatever, you don't have to wear a waist belt throw bag. It's a nice thing to have for safety. They're definitely better made than the NRS ones. That's my big thing, is they're definitely more solid, which means they're heavier too. You know, they're heavier. So the frames are definitely, you can feel the weight of this new, the seat when you put it on. It's just sturdier. And so it's less than half the price. It's sturdier. It's going to last longer. Has a bigger back seat. The big downside is it just weighs more. That's it. And having used these for, I don't know, 6-7 months now, I can say they're good. Yeah. So, you know, the only advantage I can think of the NRS seat is that it weighs less. And maybe if you want a lower back, it's going to work. So those are my thoughts. It's amazing to me that NRS usually still sells low cost stuff. I mean, that's what they specialize in, stuff that, you know, that isn't as expensive. And in this case, that the seat they sell is really expensive, $160. So yeah, that's my thought. If there's any questions out there, let me know. But the weight, they are like maybe, these ones are maybe twice the weight. They're significantly heavier. And so, you know, if weight isn't a factor at all, I probably would recommend going with this. Also, most of them are black, which, you know, maybe on a hot day gets warmer. But, I mean, this is worth trying out, this deluxe low back yellow seat. Interesting. I may have to – oh, man, I have to get one of these and try it out too. Huh. Yeah, and if you look through Amazon, you'd probably find more. So – that's my review. Hopefully that answers that comment. And the next question is about blaster comparisons. It says, you should do a video comparing blasters, first based off their noise, and then a second how long they take to get X gallons to a boil. I feel the blasters are a necessary evil and a pain point where all river runners would be willing to make improvements. Yeah, so in terms of me making videos, I'm not going to make this video. We'll compare them now. I can just answer your question pretty quickly just by looking at them online and talking about them. This video just doesn't sound like fun for me to make, and I'd have to go buy all the blasters. And when I do reviews, I usually buy the stuff. Just so everybody knows, like, I usually go pay full price. Sometimes I pro deal, which is marginal, because if you pro deal, you technically shouldn't do a bad review of something. And I'm really cognizant to make sure that I'm honest in my reviews. Like, I try not to be swayed by getting some things. Like, Palm gave me these boots for free. I should have said that in the video. Which, you know, sometimes I get stuff for free to review, and that sometimes sways my review, whether consciously or subconsciously. It's hard to say. It's hard for them to give you shoes and then say something bad about the shoes. But I was really clear with them. Like, hey, I'm going to be honest about how I feel about them, right? And then, you know, if they don't like the honesty, they won't send me something again, which is fine. I'll buy stuff. I probably would have bought these shoes anyway because I was super curious, which was nice. They beat me to it in terms of these shoes. But most things I just buy. You know, I've reviewed a million knives. Here's a knife. I have knives everywhere because I'm always testing them. And I've bought all the knives. And I don't mind buying the things to be authentic. With blasters, I'm not going to buy the blasters. I know what works well. I know what doesn't. I don't need to buy them to test them to make the video. And that one blaster, let's go ahead and open up the blasters. See if I can get to that page. I have it kind of ready to go. Let's see. So for Partner Steel, there's two blasters to look at here. I'm not going to, this extreme water heater that is brought up in the comment, I'm not going to spend $500 on something that I just will never use. I already know it's not going to work. And so I'm not going to spend $500. So with that preface, let's get into what I'm thinking. I'll finish the reading the question and we'll get into it. I mainly want to see what is going on with Partner Steel Extreme Water Heater at almost double the price of their blaster. I'm curious if it's worth it. Can't find a single video of it in use either. Also curious how the other cheaper blasters hold up on heating worthy amounts to oil. So I never even heard about the Partner Steel Extreme Water Heater until I got this comment. I didn't know it existed. And so that was, it was news to me. And I can just tell you, just by like this right here, it has them side by side. The Extreme Water Heater is something I just wouldn't use on a river trip. It's just not great. I think what it provides a more stable base. Like if you put a big bucket of water on the blaster, it's tippy. It can fall over if you're not careful. The Extreme Water Heater, that's a solid base. But they both, it says they both have 120,000 BTU, which I'm just going to trust the website. Like they might be wrong, who knows, but I'm going to trust the experts. They both create the same amount of heat. They both are probably the same noise level. So I'm going to say they're equivalent, except the Extreme Water Heater. Let's see if I can go to the page. So I think this is the only information they have on the web is right here on the Extreme Water Heater. It just has a more stable base. So if you're doing a blaster, it folds up nicely, fits nicely in a raft for multi-day trip. This Extreme Water Heater isn't going to fit nicely in your boat. It that has the legs up. Let's see if we can find somewhere else. Let's go Partner Steel Extreme. I'm Googling it, water heater. You know, if I was doing like a instead of a river trip, like a established camp, I'd probably want the Extreme Water Heater. This is what it looks like when it's set up. It has nice big legs, a nice big stable surface. You know, again, I don't want to carry this thing in a raft, but if I'm driving it somewhere and I'd say I'm like have an established camp set up for a week or a month, this is nice because of the big stable surface. It's just, you know, easy to use, lifted off the ground quite a bit. Where the blaster, you know, it's more portable, but it seems that they have the same amount of energy applied to them. So I would say like this to me is not something for river trips. I'm sure if some of you use it or think it's a good idea, let me know. I can't see its use, especially when the blaster is so good. Let's look at the power. Let's look at the blaster, like quick blaster, Partner Steel. We're just Googling it here. You know, this thing is just, it's proven. It's solid. It's durable. I mean, these things, I've rarely replaced these. You know, we use these like a ton of trips every summer. We beat them up. We throw them in the bottom of a raft and step on them sometimes. We replace the hoses sometimes. We replace the regulator sometimes. But the blaster itself is just timeless. You know, it's easy to set up. Just goes right on the ground. Boom, ready to go. So I think this is pretty sweet. In the question, he asks about how long they take X gallons to a boil. Again, those two are the same. I couldn't imagine faster. So like they do fine for getting X gallons to a boil. What I would actually care about more personally would be I'm not going to do it, a video about it, but how efficient they are. Not the time, the amount of propane. Like if there was a more efficient possibility, I might consider using it. Time, I mean, whether it takes 5 minutes or 7 minutes, I'm on a river trip. I have time. I'm not super worried about it. This one mentioned is noise. First, based off their noise. Yeah, I mean, with the blaster, you can adjust the little nozzle. So you can go full speed and go where it's really loud, or you can just turn it down. It heats the water up slower, but it's not as loud. So you do have the ability to adjust the noise if you want to. So, yeah, so in terms of me doing a video, when the blaster is just solid, I'm sure there's nothing that's better. I'm not like, I just can't get into it. So Captain Ryan, I see your comment. I was just going to get to this. The other option I think is the Woodland Power Stove. I don't know of any other option that's portable, light, and heats up water. So let's pull up the Woodland Power Stove. And I checked it out earlier. It's just powerstove.net. And I have one of these. And I know people that swear by these things. And let's see how much they cost, first of all. The blaster was $260. This is $185. You know, the Woodland Power Stove, the advantage is that it's a little lighter, a little smaller. The downside is it says here 65,000 BTU per hour. And so those other ones, I think if I remember right, it was, what was it? 120. So just doing some quick math, this one probably heats the water up half as slow. I mean, there's more factors than just the BTU, you know, like, but whatever, probably half as slow. The base is like about, I'd say about as stable as the blaster. The one thing I don't like about this one, it's just a little more moving parts. And if you've ever used it, setting it up is a little more tricky. The blaster, you just open up a tripod, set it on the ground, ready to go. This thing, you have to kind of, you know, fidget with it and put some little, you know, metal things in some holes. And so it's, you know, probably takes like another minute to set up. And I earlier said like time on a river trip, I don't like care about time, whether it takes 5 minutes or 7 minutes to set up to make water boil. That's passive time. That's just me turning a knob and like waiting. For me, like the more I have to fidget with gear, that's frustrating to me. So like a minute of extra fidgeting to set it up and a minute extra fidgeting to take it apart, that's just me fidgeting with thing time, with things time. And I'd rather have my time enjoying the river trip, not fidgeting with gear. So, you know, it's only 2 minutes, so it's not a big deal. But these are, but it adds up over a trip. If every day you're like, I gotta set the power stove up and you're messing with it. And it just has like those little side panels. I'm not sure. Like, I guess they block from the wind, which might make it more efficient. It's just a little more moving part. So more possibility for it to break. It seems a bit more fragile to me than the blaster. So, you know, if you're taking care of it, you don't mind fidgeting with it, you want to save a little money and have something lighter, this is a good stove. It's proven, solid. It's stainless. I think it's patented. I think I read somewhere it's patented. It's that good. I'm a huge fan of this. I'm going to go with the blaster because I can jump up and down on it. It's still going to work. You jump up and down on this and it's probably going to break or bend, right? And the blaster's, you know, twice the power, and I can turn it down from 120 to 60. I can turn it down and it makes less noise. And so I have the ability to have less. But sometimes if I want to crank it all the way up and heat up coffee water as fast as possible, I have the option too. So yeah, Captain Ron, thanks for mentioning the Woodland Power Stove. I don't know about any other stoves out there that I think people generally use. If anybody knows of any, leave them in the comments. Even if you're watching the video later, leave them in the comments so I can research them. That's, again, I love this show because I learn about new things out there. So just to sum up all of this, it just seems like the blaster to me is the way to go. I mean, it's durable. It works great. It can be loud, but you can turn it down. Yeah. I can't imagine not using the blaster. Everything that, let's go back to the video. Everything that Partner Steel has been selling lately, I mean, their price has gone up dramatically. I don't know, you know, why, probably just like inflation, like we're all dealing with. But man, if you look at the price of things, they're expensive. So 260, I can see that 260 for a blaster can seem expensive. I mean, a fire pan, you know, large fire pan with wings, $835 for a fire pan. Like that's expensive. The Johnny Partner toilets, $1,000. I mean, that's a lot for a groover. The stoves now, I mean, we use the six burners right here. Let me see, where are the six burners on here? The six burner, $950. I mean, and I'm fine. I mean, if they want to charge more, like that's their right. You know, maybe labor's gone. Maybe they chose to pay their employees more. Maybe they're, you know, they're staying to themselves with like awesome materials. One thing, if you make stuff, you can, you know, make it with lower quality materials and save some money and keep the pricing down. You know, my hat's off to them for saying, you know, hey, we're going to pay our employees well. Hopefully that's what they're doing. We're going to make high quality stuff. You know, we're going to use the best of everything. I'm glad they exist and they are the best. I mean, somebody someday might make something better, you know, but $950 for a six burner stove, for me as an outfitter, somebody uses these stoves a ton over many, many years. They last a long time. I'll pay it. It's worth it. Because I know I'm not going to replace it in 3 years. You know, I hate replacing things. I'm a big fan of you buy it and you maintain it and it lasts forever. This is the kind of stove that lasts forever. And so thank you to Partner Steel for making bomber stuff that's well thought out, that lasts forever and is repairable. I mean, one thing about these stoves, and some of you may not know this, but there's a repair kit. that you can buy to repair these things. You can fix almost everything out there. So this kit, here we go. This repair kit is sort of a mandatory thing to have. It has this, even this special wrench right here that they bent so that you can get in and change. I think that's to get in and change, like undo a nut to pull the nozzles off. It comes with that. It comes with all these extra parts, these, what are these called? Oh, I'm not even starting on that page. Let me go to this page. Sometimes I'm talking about a website and I'm on a different tab. This right here, these repair kits, these rubber, these O-rings, when they go on the stove, they stop working. So having these parts with you in the field is critical. So part owner doesn't even only, not only make the stove, they make the repair kit, and there's instructions that come in the repair kit. So, you know, if your stove is like blowing fire out the, where you turn the nozzle, it says, okay, here's how you fix that probably, which is super nice. So you go out and buy like a cheaper stove. It's more likely to break. And when it does break, it doesn't come. Well, I don't think the stoves come with repair kits. You have to buy them. I can't remember maybe they come with them, but like the repair kit doesn't exist. So you're kind of SOL. And so, you know, I've been able to fix every, you know, our stoves again, they've had them for 10 plus years. They're getting used for, you know, 40, 50 days a year in the summers. They still work. I've never had a problem on the river I can't fix with this kit. And so that's, I love that. And so I love Partner Steel for that. Even though they're getting really expensive, that's just the nature of how things are. Oh, they make tables too. That's cool. I didn't know that. And then we used to use their wishy-washies for a long time. Looks like they upgraded their wishy-washies too, which is pretty cool. You know, these you can make yourself, but it's kind of nice just to buy them. But getting back to the original thing, the blaster right here, they did it. They figured it out. They made something that we all love. It's bomber. I just can't imagine having something else unless it's too expensive. Then like get the Woodland Power Stove for $185, saves a little bit of money. But you don't need, also, you don't need, nobody needs this. You can just throw, you know, your water up on the stove and just wait and just take more time. So, you know, although a lot of people seem to think they need a blaster to heat up water really fast, like it's great for dishwater, it's great for coffee water. You can heat up water on a stove, it just takes longer, or on a fire. If you have a fire pan and rivers, you know, fires, you can heat up water on the fire. And if you're good with fires, you know, pretty fast. Okay, that was a lot of talking. I just did. You can use the Woodland Power Blaster Stove as a propane fire too. Yeah, you know, I saw that on their website. I didn't quite get it. Let's go back. Woodland Power Stove. There's a fire next. That's interesting that their photo on the front page has a stove and then next to a fire, and a fire with no fire ring. I'm not sure I would have done, put that photo up there. Here we go. Make it somewhere. I thought I saw a photo when I was looking at this earlier of them using it as a fire. Is there some sort of fancy? Here's, oh, look. Oh, is that what he's talking about? The wood thing or the log flame? That's kind of cool. That's something you just buy and that turns into a... Let's go to the shop and see if they have that. I didn't even know that. Ooh, they have griddles. Let's see. Windscreens, regulators, carry bag. I love that they have all the accessories too. These leg braces, these are the things right here that, you know, they you have to fiddle with to attach it together. I'm not a huge fan of. These are sweet. I think they're quieter. Ron, would you mind us if they're quieter than blasters, right? I would say for private use, this, now that I think about it, this is probably maybe better than the blaster, right? If you're guiding every day and you have to put this thing together, that like minute of putting it together, minute of taking it apart is annoying. If you're on a private trip, I don't know. When I'm on private trips, I don't care about fiddling with gear because, you know, there's everybody's technically helping. And I, you know, I don't mind as much, but when I'm working, if I have to every day take a minute to put something together and a minute to take it apart, it just adds on to every other thing. It gets tedious. So yeah, I guess if I'm a private boater, I would maybe probably lean towards the Woodland Power Stove. And I have one somewhere. Actually, maybe it's over here. I'm going to be quiet for a second. Here, I have one. I just had this reminder that I do have one. I haven't used it that much. Man, how lucky are we that I have it with me? We're just thinking in my brain where it was. This is it. You know, this little thing. And so, you know, you just have this thing and then these little... These things just are the what's attached on. So you kind of set it out here, move it around, goes like that. This is what I'm talking about. You have to, you know, take a second to put that little thing in here and that little thing in there. You do that three times and then it's set up. So, but it's just like, you know, this thing moves around. You got to fidget with this little thing. And there's something that looks like it broke off right there. Not sure what it is, but, you know, really cool little stove. I should use it more. I'm a fan. And Captain Ron saying much quieter. Yeah. So if quiet's a factor. Okay, so you can just put fake logs on it. Didn't even know that. I'll test it out. I'm kind of curious. Now I kind of want to do a video about the Woodland Power Stove. Now that I remembered I have one with the fake logs. Maybe I'll do that. Can't put on high with 20 quart stock pot. What does that mean, Captain Ron? What is a 20 quart stock pot? Is that something that it comes with? It's really cool. They have a griddle, large, heavy duty cooking griddle. So you can put a griddle on it too. Huh. Yeah, sweet. Well, I think that's it for today's show. Next Tuesday is Christmas Eve, right? So we probably won't do a show Christmas Eve. And the following Tuesday is New Year's Eve. So sometime in there, if we have questions, we'll do another show sometime in the next few weeks. Captain Ron, you're saying it's a large pop. Okay, yeah, 20 quart. Why? I don't understand. Why can't you put it on high with a 20 quart stock pot? Because it's too big and it falls over? It breaks it? Like, what is it? I don't even know what a 20 quart stock pot is. 20, I'm going to Google it. 20 quart stock pot. Is that like a thing? Yeah, okay. So here's 20 quart stock pot. So whatever, this seems like a pretty, like these pots are pretty standard. Look at that one. That's pretty sweet. Pretty standard pots. Why can't you put it on high with one of these? Too much fire? I don't know what that means. Partner should add a regulator to their repair kit. You know, that's interesting, Steve. It makes the repair kit pretty big and bulky. Like, I like how small the repair kit is. Like, we put the stove repair kit in our repair kit. It doesn't take up much space. As soon as you put a regulator in there, it just takes up more space. You can choose, and it makes the repair kit cost more. Right now, it's $59. It probably sends it over 100. You know, some people, I would say the repair kit is more like tools and odds and ends. You could easily just add a regulator yourself if you feel like you need one. The regulators do go bad every, like, I don't know, couple years for us at least. You know, they do go bad, and it's a bummer. If it's something that you are concerned about, just like you can add one to on your own, I think. So I'm happy that they don't put a regulator in there. Again, because it keeps the repair kit. It's just a nice little tiny thing. You just shove it in a repair kit. It's super easy. And I would say just have your own. The fire goes too high. It can handle larger pots. All right, cool. This has been a cool episode. I've enjoyed talking about this. This is stuff I like a lot. I'm really interested in cooking stuff. So, but again, thanks everybody for watching. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'll see you whenever we do a show again. If you have questions, I know it's the off season, so there haven't been many questions. Go to whitewaterguidebook.com. I'll take a second and go there because we have a minute. We have a website. How do I get back to this? Here we go. Whitewater guidebook where we take the questions. You can also just come on a show and ask live. But if you have questions under Gear Garage, it's right there. Ask a question. Just submit a question there. And then the next time we do a show, we'll probably answer the question. Some of them are kind of ridiculous, but we generally answer the questions there. And yep, that's it for this episode. See you all in a week or two.